السلام عليكم شيخ.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So let's just go. Go ahead, Sheikh. So in Malaysia, over there is 11. Over here is 9. But we're right on time. We're right on time. Alhamdulillah.
Shukr. Allah connect us again.
MashaAllah. So tell us, I'm going to take us back in history again. So we met, I believe it was, correct me if I'm wrong, first time we met, that was in Hajj. And you gave me something that I still use to this day to show the mercy of Islam, because you went over the letters. ISLAM. Islam says love all mankind. Can you go ahead and elaborate on that?
Yeah, because when you say Islam, ISLAM, you also can translate into I is I, S is shall, A is all, L is L is love, A is all, M is mankind. So I shall love all mankind. ISLAM. So that is what the Prophet was sent for. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah said to us that, O Muhammad, we never send you except to bring the mercy to the world. To everybody, not only to one race or only to the Muslim, but رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, to the world. So this is very important. No, because of the mercy is more than love, because having mercy meaning you are prepared to go through all the pain and suffering just to save others, to save the ummah, to bring people from darkness to light. Even they are not ready to accept, they go against you, but because of the mercy you have, you keep on praying for them, you keep on inviting them, and of course at the end of the day, Allah said the one who give hidayah is Allah, not us.
I like what you mentioned about mercy, because we often get this word thrown around. He says to her, she says to him, I love you, baby, and all these empty slogans, right? But there's no mercy between the two. Just empty words. But the mercy, as you said, Prophet Muhammad was sent as a mercy to all mankind. So what would you say to the president of France now, with all of the attacks that are happening against Islam? What would you say to him regarding this mercy of Islam?
Yeah, we as a Muslim,
you know what's obviously going on in France now, right, Sheikh?
Yeah, we are following this very closely too. You see, and then we always believe that this is one of the areas that may be something the Muslim must reflect, number one. Whether we have been talking to all these people about Islam, especially Muslim leaders. I'm not talking about the public. When you talk about president, you talk about politicians. So leader to leader, like our prophet. Yeah, when he was the leader of the ummah, he was addressing the other leaders. But today, the Muslim leader is so naive, so weak. You know, they don't even present Islam to other leaders. So they are very ignorant. To me, I will say they are ignorant. When you are ignorant, sometimes you can be arrogant. So it is just too bad. But it's a wake-up call for everybody. You know, this is just something that Allah is telling us again. That we Muslim, wherever you are, you must set a good example. You must integrate with everybody, so that show them this is Islam. Islam is about unity. Islam is about love. We don't care what color you are. No, we all are children of Adam. And all children of Adam, we are like one big family. And Allah created us different race and nation. Our tribe is for us to get to know one another. So when that one fail, this thing can happen, this fitna. Of course, it is not wise for a leader, a very intelligent person, a person who are so high above. Yeah, they should be very, very careful when they speak, when they talk about others. Now, leaders should unite people, not to create unrest and hatred. So, of course, we are hurt. As a Muslim, we must feel hurt. because we love our prophet more than ourselves. That's why. You know, they don't understand. They just don't understand. There are people who say, now, the Muslim, if you go and burn the Quran, you go and talk about it, they still, you know, very patient. When you hit Prophet Muhammad, now the Muslim is just have to wake up.
How about the, you mentioned leaders. Was it Imran, the one of the leaders from being the president of Pakistan? It seems like, what do you think? Is he taking up the call? Like he's, it seems like many are sleeping there, but what do you think about him? Has he tried to do some of this, what you're talking about at all?
We hope that our leader will be very proactive. So when a leader, when they talk to one another, it makes a lot of difference.
Big difference, right? Big difference. So the leaders need to step up and have some courage to go ahead and share this message. What do you think about the courage of our brother Habib, who's been also kind of stepping up a little bit, and he spoke out against this and this president and these attacks on the Prophet ﷺ? Have you heard of this, of Habib?
No. I don't think I follow everything.
No?
Closely. Yeah.
tell us, for the people that don't know, you were formerly a Buddhist. We did that program before, but you were a Buddhist at one time, right?
Yes, of course.
And then were you officially, I don't remember, a monk also?
Not really a monk, but I am one of the good followers.
You
don't reach the level of a monk, you know, but we are going towards that.
Tell us, I remember you telling me the story of Gautama Buddha, about him possibly maybe even being a prophet. I remember getting that from you. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, we know that our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned there are 120 over 1,000 of prophets been sent. Of course, there's only 313 or 315 that is messengers. And then only 25 is recorded in the Quran. But there are many that the name is not been known. Only Allah knows best. But why we say that it's not impossible is because of the teaching. Every prophet was sent as Bashiran wa Nazira. Bashiran and Nazira to convey glad tidings, good news for those who follow, and also to warn those who disbelieve and those who reject. And then if you look in the teaching of Gautama, then you'll find that he will always end with Sukha wa Dukkha. In the Sanskrit language, sukha wa dukkha means glad tidings and warning. Good news and bad news. And then you see that one of the most important ingredient in arkanu iman, that we Muslim must always be very strong in, that is to believe in qada and qadar. The last article of faith, there is to believe in what is been ordained, what is been predestined by Almighty Creator Allah Rabbul Alameen. And then when you look into the teaching of Gautama, then you come up with the karma. Karma is about qada and qadar. So of course we cannot claim 100% because the name is not been mentioned in the Quran or in the Hadith. But we know that Allah said that I have sent to all nations, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَاسْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We have sent to every nation a messenger. So, وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ بِالسَّوَى. But the teaching never contradict, to my understanding, yes.
Yeah, because you being a part of someone who was actually a Buddhist, then you actually ended up going above and beyond, you end up really looking into Islam. You accepted Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation. You accepted it. And now comparing the teachings there of the pure monotheism, how do you see it? Then you became an Islamic scholar. How do you see from your perspective that it evolved to where it is today? From, you talked about his life. He was a simple man. You know, he kind of went away, if I remember, from
before. He was a prince, and then suddenly he came to realize, to see the reality of life. Because when he was in the palace, they don't really show him all the real, the reality of life, the suffering, the poor, the old age. They want him to just see everything that is beautiful. Until one day when Allah's Qadar, that he was able to travel with his parents out from the palace. And that is the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the way that he managed to just get out from the main group, and then he saw behind all the beautiful picture that's been displayed in front of him. He saw how people is suffering, the poor, the sick, the old age. Then he started to realize something is wrong. What I was being informed, being exposed in the palace, being taught by my parents and the people around me in the palace is just like a drama, a show. The reality is different. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave him the awakening. That's why you call Buddha. Buddha came from the root word of Bud. Bud means the awakening. So he think. You see, he's starting to think. He want to go, get out, and he want to look for the truth. He want to look for the answer to what is life. Now, I'm living in a palace with everything around me. Everybody is smiling. Everybody is good. Everybody is healthy. But I realize outside the palace, people are suffering. People are dying. So that's why he make an attempt to make a hijra. He left the palace. And make his first hijra, he left. And that's where he was looking and looking. And he found some people who was doing a lot of meditation in the wilderness. But the way they do about what they are trying to do is, he didn't know he was named as Buddha. Because the word Buddha means the enlightened one. So the word enlightened to us is Hidayah.
So now you connect these. I mean, translate the word again to awaken. What's the word?
Awakening.
Awakening.
Awakening. Bud.
Bud. So Bud means awakening. So
is awakening.
So when you're awakening when to the reality of this dunya, right? This life, you can really relate to the concept of Islam, thinking like, what's the purpose of life? Why am I? What am I living for? Where am I going when I die? Awaken to the reality that you're going to die, that this life is transitory, short. That concept is there. But how did it evolve, Sheikh? How did it evolve to where it is today, where we see people actually worshiping themselves as a god, worshiping Buddha, you know, worshiping the creation through this?
Yeah, it's where we call man-made religion, the cult. Comes in. People start to make money and commercialize everything.
Oh, commercialize business. Now it became business. Yeah.
Yeah. You make an idol and then you can sell. It's a good business, you know.
Oh.
And trying to say, no, this is the Buddha that can help you. Like happened in the time of Abraham, the father, Azar. He is the idol maker. You know, and then he is calling people to sell his idol and then tell people to worship this idol. Is a big business. So it happened to every generation. Even the time of Jesus, it happened. Jesus never called people to worship him. Neither Buddha called anybody to worship him. And you see, they have prostration. If you look at the Buddhists, when they do their prayer, they prostrate. There are a lot of chanting. Yeah. So if you look at that, then you see that there's a lot of similarity. It link with one to another. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. The only problem today is when people start to worship something, they are starting to make sure that everybody that later on will follow their idea. And people, majority of the people today, they are blind followers. They don't really want to think. They don't even want to reflect. They just want to be a good follower. If they follow the right one, alhamdulillah, the truth, shukr. But majority are not doing that. That's why in the Quran, the only book that if you go back, if you compare the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Quran, the last Testament, Allah keep on reminding us, afala yatadabbarun, afala yatazakkarun, afala yanzurun. No, don't you think, don't you reflect. See, Allah want us to have an open mind. Don't do anything without knowledge. Wala taqfu ma laysa laka bi'ilm. Allah say in Surah Isra, don't say or do anything without knowledge. Why? Because when you are a blind follower, then you can easily be misguided by anybody. There's a beauty of Islam, you see. There's a beauty of Islam. That's how I communicate with my own people when I talk to them, when I talk to the people of the Christian. I was a Christian too before. Then I talk to them and say, brother, sister, do you believe in Jesus? They say, of course. You cannot be a Christian if you don't believe in Jesus. Good. Now, we cannot be a Muslim if we don't believe in Jesus. I said, can you be a Christian if you don't believe in the Bible? He said, no. But must we believe in the Bible? He asked me back. I said, I don't know. I'm asking you. Can you be a Christian without believing in the Bible? I think no. I think we should believe. Good. We Muslim cannot be a Muslim if we don't believe in the Injil. Now, I'm going now a bit further. Do you believe in Moses? And then they ask me, why must I believe in Moses? I don't know. I just want to ask you how you feel. How about you? How about your feeling to Moses? You see, we cannot be a Muslim if we don't believe Moses. Then I'm going to talk again. Do you believe in Ibrahim? They say, why you are bringing me further and further? And I said, no, I'm just asking. If you don't believe, then you have problem because it's written in your Bible. You see? So if you believe, then I have another important question. What is the name of the God of Moses? What is the name of the God of Ibrahim? Can you say that they worship Jesus? Because Jesus came later on. Are you telling me there's no God before that? They don't believe in God. You know Abraham believed in God. You know Moses have God with him. But what is the name of the God of Moses? So I'm just going to make them start to think. I want you just to reflect for a while. So you see, when we become a Muslim, we don't lose anything. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Angel. We believe in Moses. We believe in the Torah. We believe in the Sufi of Ibrahim. We believe in everything. That is the beauty of this religion. It unites everybody. Allahu Akbar.
So Shay, so you also, you had your experience of being a Christian also. And now, yes, so yes. You got to experience Buddhism, Christianity, and over my years of interviewing people, that's what I've found. I found that if a person was sincere, they were genuinely seeking the truth, I mean, and they would test the man-made religions, but then when they came to Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation, they would see the connection that their heart had to it, and it would really stand out from all the rest.
Of course.
And what do you think is the main problem today? What are you seeing that even amongst some Muslims that now some don't appreciate? You know, it has to be someone like yourself, you know, somebody who had to really go outside and really investigate. But some people take it for granted because maybe my father was Muslim or my parents. But then when it comes down to actually submitting, right, themselves and obeying the commands of Allah, their creator, they're kind of like Burger King, have it your way. They kind of just, you know, making things up as they go. Have you seen a lot of this happening?
Oh, yeah, it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. Yeah, I don't blame a lot of them, Brother Eddie. You know why? Through my humble experience, mixing around with them, the elders, the corporate, the intellectual, the academician, you know, and everybody, I mix with all group of people. Yeah, from the lowest of the low to the upper of the up, you know. So then I start to realize, you know, what went wrong with a lot of fellow Muslim brothers and sisters who are getting further and further away from Islam. The so-called, they are secular, so-called, they are liberal. There are so many new groups, yeah, coming up. If you look carefully, you realize that what went wrong is because of the tarbiyah. The tarbiyah means the Islamic education that was being given to them, majority of the born Muslim, are just focusing on ritual without values. Teach them to read the Quran, memorize the Quran without understanding. So what can the Quran benefit them? You can say, I memorize the Quran, you know, I read the Quran, but now I don't believe in the Quran. Of course, because you don't understand. The value is not there. So when they have the value, that's why the Prophet ﷺ was sent to focus on the aqidah and the value, the adab. You know, that is how it starts. It adab, how to develop. Yeah, the human to think like human. Don't play God and don't be like an enemy. We are no animal. Either you become the lowest of the low or somebody overconfident, they claim that I am God, like Pharaoh. You know, so both sides, but Islam is always in the middle. That's why the Prophet said, Khairul Umur awsatiha. The best affairs is always when you are in the middle. And Allah said to us, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We created you, the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the middle ummah, who will bear witness to everybody. Allahu Akbar. It's a big responsibility.
How do you see now when you were growing up? Can you paint a picture, or we can see like the definition of a man, let's say a woman, compare that when you were coming up, and then now the generation, what are you seeing? Like now when you have application forms, you have, I don't know if they have that in Malaysia now, we have male, female, and then over here, non-binary. Are you familiar with these terms? So are you seeing a direct attack on the masculinity of a man trying to make a man more like a woman trying to make a woman like a man? I mean, obviously a man is also someone who's compassionate, who's merciful, who's loving, all these qualities. But also, what's the definition Islamic of a man, a man's man and a woman's woman, when you were coming up and then today?
Yeah, if you go back to the history repeat, Brother Eddie, history repeat. This problem of half man and half woman, he, she, and she, he, all this, it happened before all of us. It happened, it's not something new to us. Everybody is aware of at the time of Lut and so on. But then, what did God say about these people? Do God acknowledge, accept them, and do God say it's okay? No. And that's why even in Buddhism, even in Christianity, in Judaism, in all religion, they just cannot accept what that we are accepting today, because we are playing God today. We know this thing will happen. It's part of Allah's qadar, but we are not here to promote. We are not here to endorse. We are here to help them if they need help. If not, we have to leave them to Allah Almighty. Sometimes this kind of thing, it's not just a virus that attack your body, it attack your mind, your brain. You know? And now you cannot think straight anymore. You just do not know how to differentiate between haq and batil. We know the creation start with Adam and Eve. Everybody who believe in the book, they must accept it. Yeah, there's no other than it's only Adam and Eve, male and female. Was a kazali. Allah said, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَىٰ. I created male and female. Other than that is a disease. Whatever you want to name, it's up to you. You can come up with a new term, but still, according to the book, from the time Adam was created until the end of time, the law, the divine law, will not change. Allah will only recognize the he and a sea.
And this is not something. This is not something new. I mean, this is according to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus, peace be upon him. According to the teachings of Moses, Abraham, they all taught the same thing: a pure monotheism, differentiating the role of the man and the woman. You also have that. These are the teachings of Christianity, of Judaism. So this is not like anything new. But what people are bringing now, that's something that's going against what the Creator has sanctioned from all of us. Tell us, what do you, when we say this word also, ghira, what do we, you know, what does that, define that word from us, and how do we implement this as men in our lives, ghira, this term ghira, and do you see this kind of going away from many?
Yeah, because Allah, Rabbul Alameen, have warned us about this. You know, the man, you see, the Prophet also have warned us about the coming time, you know. So the man have lost their identity as a man. The woman were dressed like a man, the man dressed like a woman. They behave just the opposite. Sometimes they started with fun. It's just funny. It's just an act, you know. But later on, it become an issue. You see, that's why Islam always said prevention is better than cure. We know we're just like the virus COVID-19 today. No? How do Islam introduce this prevention is better than cure? Whoever is affected is a virus, a disease that is very, very fatal, very, very dangerous. It can spread very fast. They cannot move from that area. Total isolation. And the one that is not been affected cannot enter a complete quarantine. This is not new. Not only the World Health Organization come up with this SOP. It was recommended by our Prophet some 1,000 years ago. But a lot of this good teaching that was guided by Allah Almighty, who created us, who know what is the best way to solve our problem. But we have failed ourselves because we overconfident, we thought that we know better than God. If everybody will just come back to God and look for his guidance, and he said, follow this man, because this is the time that nobody can be the way except Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of Moses, Moses is the way to God. In the time of Jesus, Jesus is the way to God. In the time of Prophet Muhammad, until the end of time, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man where the people are talking bad about him, he is the only way to God. Allah said, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah." If you say you believe in God, you love him, you love Allah, Allah just command us to follow one man. Then you gain the love from Allah. We fail to follow this man. Allah said, "Fattabi'uni." You have to follow my last messenger to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I, yuhibbukum Allah, I, Allah, the Creator, will love all of us. And when he loves us, the first thing he will do, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ زُنُوبَكُمْ, he will forgive all our sins. Allahu Akbar.
So just to conclude now, you see a lot of Christians, people I've interviewed, Christians, and one in particular who was really fascinated about how Muslims hold firmly to many of the divine commands that God Almighty has sent. Like we talked about the pure monotheism. This is the one thing when somebody really looks at between the man-made religions and then they look at the truth of the pure monotheism, this just stands off from the rest. And this is what really brings the majority of people to Islam. But then you have the moral code, the manners. And then not swaying away, where Islam is not like a buffet, like, you know, just do it your way. And then everything is just there. It's laid out. People respect that. They really, you know, this Christian in particular, one Christian, his name is Owen Benjamin. He was looking at it. He said, man, I couldn't go find a church where I can go where it wasn't, they were not modifying things. But I really respect the Muslims because they are really holding to those principles, you know, that are really clear there. And for him, that was just amazing, you know. So we just continuing talking about some of these things. And just to remind also the Ummah, the people, like you said, the leaders, to be leaders, you know, to invite to the deen, to share the deen, and to us to really be grateful for what we have of the deen. And tarbiyah, education, so important. So what closing comments and advice do you have now as we conclude, Sheikh?
Yeah, I think we have to do our part. Everybody have a duty. That's why the Prophet said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati." Everyone is a leader, at least to ourselves. Set good example. We Muslim, Allah said, "Kuntum khayra ummah." Only in the book of Allah, the last testament, Quran, there is this kind of sentence. Allah said, "You are the best nation." Where the early scripture, you don't have this kind of ayah, this kind of sentence. Only in Islam, Allah said, "You are the best ummah." Why we are the best? Because we follow what Allah wants us to do, and we follow the teaching of Prophet Muhammad SAW. And we carry out our duty as amal ma'ruf nahi munkar. Amal ma'ruf and nahi munkar, calling people to goodness and forbid people from doing anything that is bad. It starts from ourselves. That's why the saying of the Prophet, la darara wa la dira. This is a very short hadith that I always remind my students, please memorize this hadith. You say you love Prophet Muhammad, memorize his saying. And it's simple. Even you, Brother Adi, I believe you have memorized that. Very simple. La darara wa la dirar. La darara wa la dirar. Finish. The Prophet is telling us a Muslim is a person who will not say or do anything that will cause harm to themselves. Set good example. And then you are not going to cause harm to others. That is a Muslim. It's a person who believe in what is good for him and he will do it. Show good example. Be kind, be loving, be sincere, be committed, be clean, you know. Be honest, be trustworthy, all the good things. That's all the Islam want us to do. And when you have done that, you can set a good example to anybody, wherever you go. And that's why the Allah says, ittaqillah haythumma kunta. Be connected to Allah wherever you are. Whatever you do, you are a businessman, don't cheat, don't lie, be an honest. Yeah, businessman, honesty, the best policy. You know, when you are become a husband, be the best husband. The Prophet said, the best among men are the men who are best to the wife. Example. Yeah, when you are a father, be a good father. Take this as a amanah. When you are a good leader, then you become a good leader. Then those who are not leader become good follower. You see, that's how you go. Move on. And this is the beauty of Islam. Islam has everything from cradle to grave. Everything is so detailed. When you want to eat, eat what is halal, what is good, and how to eat. How to drink, also Islam is here to guide you. You want to talk, you can talk, but you how to talk. What kind of word you should use. Everything is guided. You don't get it in any other adyan, because they are not perfect yet. They are not completed yet. Only in Islam, Allah said, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum." Today, I perfected my religion for you. Whatever you need in this life, until the hereafter, everything is there. And I have completed my favor upon you. Whatever you need, from cradle to grave, how to educate a person, how to eat, how to drink, how to behave, how to talk to your parents, how to talk to the elders, how to deal to the young, the neighbor, and everything, how to do business, everything is there. And then Allah said, I choose. Allah used this word. I choose this religion for you. It cannot be wrong. The problem is now the people are lost. They don't know what to choose. But this religion that Allah sent to Prophet Muhammad, he himself chose for us. Can you imagine, Brother Eddie, if the creator, the king, choose something for you, how do you feel? Oh, you feel so blessed, you know? And then if a guy is known, number one specialist in this, he choose something for you. You feel so great. Now, this is the creator, Al-Khaliq, who created every one of us. Choose this religion for us. Allah is a great blessing. is really a great blessing.
Thank you so much, Sheikh. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Ma. Thank you for sharing your advice. Jazakallah. It was very nice to have you on the program again. May Allah reward you. Jazakallah.
Send my warm salam to everybody, to your family. We hope you will meet up soon again, inshallah.
Inshallah.
You know? We always love to see all the good people around us. And we love to share whatever we have with all the good people. You know, it can be anybody. The Christian, you have good people around them, the Buddhists, the disbelievers, so-called disbelievers, the atheists, the free thinker. You know, I have been traveling to China before, having a lot of discussion with all the think tank who are there, communists, but I talked to them about religion. They are very open, alhamdulillah. They start to realize, oh, because they just do not want to get involved in any religion because they don't have the understanding. You see, they take religion, it's like a drug, you know, make you, you know, high and then forget about your responsibility. You have people who go for chanting and go for meditating, they become lazy. Of course, they don't like people like that. They want people to be productive. I said, that is what Islam is about. It's about creative, constructive, productive. You just name everything good there is in Islam. Allahu Akbar.
Thank you, Shaykh.
Of course, at the end, it's Allah who gives hidayah. We will just try our best to share whatever knowledge Allah has given us. And the best knowledge is what Allah said, call Allah, wa qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not what I think, how you think, but what Allah said and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have taught us. That is pure knowledge. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd.
Thank you so much, Sheikh. Thank you, Jazakallah.
Welcome, Brother Andy.
Jazakallah. We'll be in touch, Sheikh.
Inshallah. We keep on good. Now okay. We are in contact again. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamualaikum.
Subscribe right now.